Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio. Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
What am I forgetting, Ashley? It's been a second since we were in the driver's seat again.
She's bossy and neurotic.
I'm neurotic. I am neurotic.
You called me lazy, you slap down bitch. You said that man's lazy. You know exactly what happened to me for the last fucking year. And you went, she's lazy on the Jumbotron. Fuck you.
She's lazy and she's bald.
She's lazy and bald. A bald scallywag. Teaser in my spirits, bitch.
All right, so we've got Al on the third seat. I'm ignoring all of that. We've got Al on the third seat. And we were talking a bit earlier before I pressed record about how Ashley and I had been talking since about what we're going to do together afterwards next. And one thing like we really like doing is this, we like talking to creators, we like to talk to people who are like making something or were involved in the making of something. I think when we were talking to Matthew Bourdonnais, that was really fun for us, and when we got the chance to talk to Steph Williams, that was really cool as well. And I think it's an excuse for us to talk to people we like who are doing something interesting. And I know Al, he's the writer and the mind behind the web series The Cages, which is on Webtoons right now and is kickstarting for its second season. When that I saw that was happening, and I thought, oh, this is a perfect opportunity to get us all in the room and to talk about Al's project.
No, it's just like crazy because I have been like really excited to talk to both of you about this. So I'm really glad that we got to get this together. I'm so excited.
I am too. I just finished rereading The Cages, and I had been keeping up with it since it started, and I'm just bowled away by anybody who manages to just create something, and not just create something but create something in collaboration with other people, because like you've drafted some heavy hitters of people that you see online and you see their work, some amazing artists out there, and like just getting your minds together to create something. I would just think that's really impressive when people actually manage to achieve it. Kudos to you. And can you tell us a bit about The Cages then?
Yeah. Like, it is a web series. It's on Webtoons and Tapas right now. It's basically a massive televised event where you have enhanced humans and robots fighting for their chance at spotlight or acknowledgement or fame. And it was just a playground for me to do what I love to do, writing about big feelings and like really big action sequences.
Yeah.
I just needed like a little playground, and The Cages fell into existence naturally with my love of like X-Men and queer drama and team drama.
When did you start with the idea? Because I remember you said something about being 6 years ago.
Yeah. So I'd say like really beginning to put like the character work together about 6 years ago. There has been like iterations of this since I was like 21. So that has been quite a long time. I'm not going to age myself too hard here, but we're looking at a decade. You can definitely give as much as you'd like. But no, there has been some iteration of this like that I've been trying to get across and or spit out on paper for so long. And It really took finding that, oh my God, this is going to sound so stupid, but it was really finding that Krakoan community on Twitter that like gave me the confidence. It was probably one, but two, just like a community and just like people that wanted to do the same thing or even just had interest in what I was talking about. So like that really...
Sorry, there's a Christmas bus going behind me.
Oh my God, I love that.
For some reason, around Christmas time every year, the local bus service just decides to take one bus all through the city that's decked out in lights and like a Santa. It's very nice. It's very wholesome, but it's also really scary. It just appears on your streets like a ghost. Anyway, back to you.
No, that was like, I was like, wait, what's happening?
You're like, I thought the sounds were edited in after the podcast. Like, why is it here now?
No, sorry. I am a little nervous, so I lost my train of thought. But I think I was going on about just the community on Twitter, to say the least, that I found here. And Ash was actually a really big part of that with X of Words and just like finding people to talk to about your powers that you would want or the backstory. And it really did start with a lot of the people that I met at X of Words, and I started talking to them about what their powers would be and what their aesthetic would be. And I wasn't very great at drawing, but I tried my best to collaborate with individuals on what their story would be and what character they would be. And I really loved connecting with people like that. It's always been my way of connecting with people. And I think a lot of geeks that are a little more empathic kind of do that too when they're at parties. They're like, so what would your superpower be?
Yeah.
It's a good little cliche of an icebreaker, but it does tell you a lot about a person. And I think just learning about people was always really interesting until I didn't. But yeah, no, so that's how it formed. It was really just, and boosted at that point, this community really pushed and gave me confidence to start. And that was like a really big step, because that's what everyone tells you that you have to do. You just have to do it.
Yeah. Ashley, how do you feel hearing that? You're involved in the origin story.
This primary school teacher energy that you are in your element right now.
Stop deflecting and answer my question.
Actually, it's what you're doing, sister. You're just fucking up the flows. Yeah? Okay, at the risk of getting really soppy here, I have seen Al for years, and this story was always leaking at the seams of you. When we talked, it was like you had this, the light was coming through the cracks in every sentence that you said. Like this story that was in you so like powerfully and viscerally. And it's amazing, and I'm so proud alongside you. It's just like standing next to somebody who materializes something that was in them when you met them is always incredible and aspirational, and I admire it so much. And it's just amazing to look at that and be like, that was it. That was what he was talking about. We had so many conversations where this would come out in like eeks and fits, and to watch like cages and see the characters that you spoke about a little bit over here and see them like condense into this character and this arc and stuff we've talked about, even about our lives and what we're going through, and to see those things in the themes of your story, sometimes even on the page, is incredible. I want to say congrats to you. It was less a question and more like a return of the law. Yeah, I remember the first, I've seen iterations of stories as well, like the synthesis. And it's so amazing to watch it flower. And I'm thinking about questions you might not have been asked yet, because I know that you've probably done a few of these at this point, and everyone will ask you the lounge, and I'm like, okay, I hang out with Al quite a lot, so I must be able to come up with a question this
time. The ground.
Do you know what I mean? Maybe I can do something. But like, is there an issue or a page that was most satisfying for you when you saw it and you went, yes?
Yeah. First, I want to say thank you, because that was just really amazing of you to also add to that conversation. And I thank you again. I was just like, yes, there was a couple of them. There was a couple of them, to be honest. And not all of them had to do with something directly like cathartic in that sense. I think I found one that I really didn't know would hit me as much as I thought it would. And it has to do with the artist as well, too. Like I have, as we talked about, I have some heavy hitters on this web series, and it was just amazing to be able to collaborate them and for them to see what I wrote on the page and be like, and translate it in a way that I was like, yes. I'd say in the finale definitely is where I get the most of those feelings, where we have Shay, an amazing artist that I was just able to do a live with. And I don't know what it is about this artist and I that we're able to just connect on the level of, I would send a script and I would have no notes. I would get the panels back and it would be like, oh, how did you do that? Were you inside of my mind? I don't want to get like too spoilery, or maybe I don't really care at this point. But there's a part where the character Branch, the telepath, is able to set free some individuals, and this panel is just like him just being like, I got you. And the way that it was drawn, like the facial expression of the character that's not even speaking, just took my breath away. And in a cathartic sense, like in a writer sense, another panel really screams out to me, where is I get to talk about, I got to do a little monologue about grief and loss. So that one was really cathartic to me. And then, yeah, there's a bunch of little ones in there where you see a character stand up in the moment. And those are really all my favorites right there, because that's something I feel that we can all kind of get to.
I think for me, just on that point about the art, and you were talking about the scene, there was also like an issue where you had the telepathic. I've just never really seen it portrayed that way in a comic book. I'm familiar with webtoons, and I'm familiar with the structure of how those comics and the stories are told. I'm not as familiar as I am with like a physical comic or reading a trade or even like reading like issues as, say, we would understand in like traditional Western comics. And I just found it the way that like you managed to, and this is like a big point as well to the artist, the way you managed to tell the story through the medium in itself, I thought was just like really cool and impressive. There is this sequence where there's like this repeated kind of visual, but also like linguistic sort of motif that comes in during a psychic attack. And then it just, and like you see it come back and come back, but it's also like fractured and like changes slightly. And I remember being like, oh, this is just really cool. Because like in my within like my experience with, it's not sequential, it's sequential comics where like you're going down, up and down, reading from up to down as if you're scrolling on
endless
a page.
Scrolls, yeah,
the endless scroll. And my experience from it, because obviously I've read like Marvel Unlimited and some DC stuff, which has attempted to play with that. I'm just like, oh, they don't actually even take it to the level that you're taking it. So this is the medium itself. How can I actually write the story to the medium? I was wondering if you could talk about that as well. I know, like you said, your background, you love reading comics, but when you were stepping into webtoons, how did that get shaped into the story?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, because there is this, we have Marvel and DC trying to do their scrolling right now, and you can see some of the artists like chip at the surface of what you can do with that kind of storytelling. You really do have to get on like webtoons or tapas and see like how some of these artists are managing. And that's what I did. I was already on webtoons and tapas. I saw like how people were managing to script and draft up these panels. I'm a little cat. And there was almost something like special that you could do only in this capacity, like only in this space. And I just wanted to lean into that. Was it hard? Fuck yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It was so fucking hard. Sorry, I don't know if I can swear, but
oh, fine.
It challenged our artists. It challenged me at some points where it's like, oh, this doesn't really make sense. Or, oh, maybe we should do it this way. Or even me just being like, oh, you know what? That's actually fine. Let's just learn and grow from this, because this is where that's supposed to be happening right now. This is supposed to be the sandbox where we all learn to collaborate and push this dream forward. And we're going to have to learn new things here. And this meeting definitely tested that.
I was just really impressed with the way that you just allowed it to shape the story as well. I thought that was just like, it's just really cool. And it's not something that
was fun.
That psychic battle was really fun. I was just like, oh, yes, I love this so much. I also wanted to talk a bit more about the process. So how long did it take getting this together to the point then you were ready to like release it? The process of gathering all these artists, approaching them, pitching them, and then just unifying an idea and then getting work produced.
Yeah, I don't know if even Ash will get like flashbacks through being, oh, another artist, gotta find a new one. But there was a big learning curve on working with people and depending on people. I had an experience where someone took my money and did not give something back in return, which was really hard at the time. Luckily, I've learned from the process, and I've been able to rectify that situation a little bit. But it's been a long while to answer the question. It took, because I was starting this and then I got an editor, like probably a quarter of the way into it. And when she came into line, she put me on a schedule that was like week by week. So it was easier after that. But oh my gosh, actual production would be about 2 years, which is too long for this project, to be honest. I was like, what are we going to do? Like one artist can't keep up with all of these episodes.
Yeah.
And luckily I had a mentor at the time who was also going through a webcomic type platform, and we were just figuring it out together. And so we made the default and the template like in our own conversations of like, how are we going to do this? And like, how many panels you're going to do? How many pages is a panel? What can an artist handle? And we got to this process where what worked was having three chunks and three artists on those different chunks to get a weekly type of schedule. And this is after a year of being with one artist and being like, okay, this is taking a little too long. If we're going to do it at this pace, it'll probably be like, and I'm not lying, it would probably be like 2026 or 27 before I'd been able to release anything. And it would have been half the amount. So I digress, but it was a process. I probably went through three or four different artists before I landed on one for just episode zero, who is a different artist than the first chunk. And because it's a commitment. And I think when I was first starting, I reached out to people that were also in the same kind of boat, just trying to figure it out. And learning what you're capable of is a humbling experience. I learned very fast I couldn't draw this on my own. I could barely handle faces and positions, let alone backgrounds. And then you get to an actual artist and you learn what their capacity is as well. I'm sure both of you are creators. You've created cinematic worlds that have details that you want on every section of the page. And as a writer, you have to meet people. And I had to learn how to meet people halfway. Be like, oh, that squirrel in the tree. You forgot that? Or something like something stupid.
Does not look Regency period.
Is that up to date? Is OSHA? Is that good? That kind of leads into a whole other conversation as well, and being able to work with artists that had the capacity to draw people.
I was looking at the list of, just to shout them out a little bit, well, as we're talking about that, Sage A. Campa, you also had on Adriana Davino, there's Shy, Olivia Ratkins, and Karen Chapp, who friend of the show. Like, you have some, like we were talking earlier about like heavy hitters, but they're also people who also place the focus about trying to make people that they're drawing not look idealized, but look beautiful in like their actual humanity and themselves. I was wondering, why was that important?
I think, and like, it's hard not to just be like, I just think people should look like people. You know what I mean? I think representation really matters, again, period. And I think being able to have someone who looks queer or in a high crop top over his titties, I want a Black girl to have her features done right and her hair to look real. I don't want to cut corners anywhere, and I didn't in this comic. And I really wanted to find people that, if I had something to say in regards to any of those things, that they would take it with,
they feel as importantly about it as you do.
Exactly. Thank you.
Ash, you were gonna say something.
So you talked really interestingly there. I know Carla talked to you about the time that it took, but your answer I think covered other things. You talked about resilience, you talked about partnership, compatibility, even then values. Like, that was about finding value, like ideological matches of people who wanted things not just done, but done in ways that you thought were healthy, representative, fair. What else? What did you have to learn or acquire for this that wasn't about time? How has it changed you to make this?
Yeah, I had to learn how to write a script. It turns out that you can't just write like a novelesque picture on paper and turn it into an artist and say, have at it. You can, I'm sure, with once you have a rapport with somebody and you know them, and maybe that's your art flow. But I was when I say I didn't know anything. I was just writing really descriptive paragraphs. And it wasn't until I met a lot of people that I'm still friends with today on X Twitter and in that community, where they were like, oh, here's a template, or do you need a mentor? And I was like, yes, please, thank you. And it turned from writing those descriptive paragraphs to outlining, to panel work, to writing captions and dialogue for the letterer. There was a lot of times where I had an artist email me back going, This really doesn't describe anything, though. This is a great vibe, but you didn't really tell me what's in the scene.
Al, you sent me a playlist. I asked for pages. You sent me a playlist.
And when I opened up and said I really want to write about big feelings and action sequences, like it really was bare bones in that sense, where it was like sad character, like boom with the exhaust. That actually would have been probably more helpful than what I was putting on the paper. For them at the time. But that was a big learning curve for me. And still to today, my editor is, you could make this a little bit easier, because there is something to be said about when you are a writer and you're writing like a novelistic approach to something. There's a lot of fluff. And it really is just taking all of that back and not being like, I'm not a storyteller when I'm writing panel descriptions. I'm trying to describe this to someone who has never seen, felt, heard, like all of these senses. To whatever I'm trying to describe. You have to peel back all of that beautiful and poetic narration that you want to put on there and save it for the letterer. And learning that was just, it was actually very hard for me. And yeah, that's how I would answer that question. It was a struggle. But I think we do a lot better today. And I've been told to talk a little bit more positively about how far I've come.
I think it's fair. I think more people should talk about how hard it is, because it is like really difficult. And I think that's important to acknowledge, just like the amount of blood that went into making this thing, because it did take blood and money
and therapy
and resilience and also just like belief. I would like to be very uncompromising about what I make, right? I want it to sound and look and be what I want it to be. I want it to capture the feeling that I have when I went in there trying to make it. And I think whether that's healthy or not is up for discussion. But I really am empathetic towards that instinct as well. You know what I mean? The challenge of trying to like mediate between that and mediate that and trying to find yourself beyond that, especially when you're working in collaboration with people. And I have seen you, similar to what Ash was saying, I have seen you just like from a distance travel up to this point. And I'm like so very impressed by it. And I'm really excited for the fact that you all are like, no, we want to keep doing this. And that you're doing the thing that I think is also really hard, which is reaching out to a community to say, this is what we made, this is what we've done, help us take it to the next level. So I do actually want to talk to you a bit about like, how does it feel? And what are the idea to do Kickstarter, just to be able to like carry this forward, come from? And how does it feel to be doing that in the midst of that right now?
Oh man, Kickstarter, promotion, promo mode. That was actually a really hard decision, to be honest, because I've been in a place, especially writing this and finishing this, where I put my personality back into a box a little bit. I've always considered myself an extrovert, very outgoing person. And then again, another cliche, like COVID happened and I got like a really hard job, and it just my personality a little bit into something that was a little bit more reclusive, a little bit more introverted, a little bit more, what did I do with my life? I just completely lost the plot with everything, and including what the question was at this point.
Kickstarter.
Oh, cause that's what it really is. It's blackout. Oh my God. Yep. I'm honestly like, and I tell this to people, like I cannot wait to be over so I can just take a breath again, because it's really pushed my personality back into the outgoing, back into the extrovert. I have to post. I have to tell people who I am and what I'm doing again. And that's just really not who I have been for so long that it was really challenging. So then when it came to the part where, okay, you know, I told a bit of the story that I wanted to tell, and you realize there's so much more that you want to tell, and it's not over. I didn't get to put in this part, or we didn't get to wrap up this idea. And what always was in the, was always hanging over that, do people want more? Would people want more? Will people want more? And I didn't, and wouldn't really know that until it was out. And that was a kind of a weird thing to contend with as well. And then I think it was really once we started putting out our episodes in the middle or at the end, towards the end of the summer. And we were also still finishing maybe the last, I think a couple of episodes still. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want it to end. I just didn't want it to end. No, like my artists were like poking at the idea, and I was floating it, and my editor was really pushing it too, because everyone wants to keep doing what they're doing if they're having fun. So my editor, she was like, I've done a couple Kickstarters and I think you can handle this. And I believed her. And I wouldn't even be where I'm at without her or my letterer or my artist who have already done this. I've also asked for help from other people that, you know, are better at media that can maybe give me a schedule, because when I'm telling you, I was scared out of my mind to press that go live button.
Yeah.
It was just,
I get it.
And you don't know what you're walking into really either. You have to do and make so many different images and just and you have to put your story out there and you have to create the rewards and it, and then it monetizes your art and you have to deal with that aspect of it. And you're like, oh, this doesn't feel good, but I want this to keep going.
You
held your head up and then you froze completely. I was like,
I didn't know who was going to go first. I just wanted to say that I really relate to that, because I had to GoFundMe the last 3 years of my education. And that was just like a really, it felt really vulnerable. It's like probably the most vulnerable thing I ever did. And I remember how exposing it felt. I also remember like how amazing it felt when people showed up to help, which is great. But yeah, no, I feel like that's an aspect that people don't tend to talk about, just how raw this time is, how vulnerable you have to be just to be able to be like, hey, this is something that I love and can you help me continue loving it, please? Yeah, I get that. Sorry,
100%. Ashley,
hearing that story about it, I think adds so much more weight and gravitas and meaning to when you ask for support. Because sometimes without showing that, hey, could you support this? It isn't grounded to anything. Everyone is asking for your support almost everywhere. So it's amazing to hear like the journey that it took for you to be able to do that and how much it means and all the love and the energy behind it. And I can see that you're being met with so much reciprocity. There we go. So much reciprocity from people who do love it. And as you were talking, I wrote crowdfunding, community, and catharsis as like the seas of themes that were going around as we were talking about this thing. And I think so much of the creation of this has been rooted in community, that it's fitting also that it should continue through community.
Yeah.
I hope so, because when I wrote this, I knew that I wasn't the only person that liked, you know, reading about team dynamics or drama or cool powers and like a really badass panel. There was that aspect that was always like, no, you're going to find your audience. There are people out there I know that could like this. Just put your all into it. Cathartic, hell yeah. We went through some areas to be able to tell these stories. I joked about therapy earlier, but I wouldn't have been able to say some of the lines that happen in like the finale, where some of the characters are like, you know what, my mind is capable of things that you could only dream of, or I've been used so many times that, you know, who the fuck cares any longer, but I know that things can grow in the dark.
Yeah.
And to be able to believe that when you're writing it is like a whole different fucking thing. And I know you too have felt this before when you're reading something and you're like, you got this is so hollow. There is nothing inside of this. You know what I mean? This is just someone, you know, just.
Well, like, enough about the X-Men. Sorry, go on.
No, but.
It's true. Yeah. There's so many ways that you read something where you know someone's imagining something, or it's a sock puppet of an experience. And I can't say this about the Cages because I am so biased. And I know there's no way. Some people maybe can interview you about this. One of the reasons I was like, I don't know whether I'm the person to do this is because I know you and Al and I. There was a long time where we were sitting down for a long time and we were having chats that were like, where we would just talk about things. And sometimes I read a page and I know that.
Yeah.
And I've read something and I go, oh, fuck. That's.
Yeah.
And so it was in. Like that was one of the reasons I asked you the questions about the way that you transformed, because this was a story that I think you wanted to tell, but also a story that was part of you in some ways. And what has it been like to set that into the world? What does that feel like?
Sorry. I'm such a baby, but it's been hard. It's it was hard and it was easy at the same time. It's something that just flows out on paper, and the hard part is just pressing the button, really. But I wouldn't change it for anything. I was so scared. And even one of my artists, I think, and we talked about this before, was actually a little nervous on some of the topics that we get to a little bit like down the line in the later episodes, so towards the finale, that are really things that I had to accept about just life in general and choices that people make, choices that you make. And it was brought to me like in a sense of, this is beautiful. It's just, are you worried about how this is going to be perceived? And I was like, fuck yeah, I'm worried about how this is going to be perceived. Are you kidding me? Thanks for addressing it. No, but it was nerve-wracking, yeah. But I had to do it. I had to do it. And yeah. I knew I had to do it. That was the weirdest part, is that you were like, you knew that it made you feel uncomfortable, but you knew that you had to do it at the same time. That's what I mean. Like, it was the hardest thing and the easiest thing at the same time. It's your dream. It's your dream on the line right there. And you wanted to put your all into it. So I did. And then what are you going to say, like, when it's out there, except I did everything that I wanted to do.
Yeah. You have to just do it. I got that. And you're still doing it. And hopefully you'll continue to do it. I'm just noticing that we are hitting the floor on this episode, but not the floor, the roof on this episode. However, I do have a couple of questions I wanted to make sure. Babe. I know. I went through everything. I was about to use the gutters. No. I was like, what's another building thing? Anyway, okay. I did want to make sure to ask a few questions before we went off. I wanted to ask about some of the inspirations which we hit on earlier, but as I was reading it, I wanted to ask you about the things that you love that you think went into this, aside from the X-Men.
So you're asking like what other mediums?
What other mediums that I think someone who hasn't read this but is intrigued by what we've talked about so far, not to compare it to and be like, oh, so if you like this, that was also in there. From my own perspective, as I was reading it, I was just like, oh, there's a bit of Promised Neverland in there. If you are an anime person, but there's also like Hunger Games is like also their battle royale.
Are Hunger Games, My Hero Academia, 100%.
All of those are in this too, which are all things I love, by the way. So I'm just like, if that appeals, yeah.
I think it's really any of those like superpower dramas that aren't afraid to just be like, people have powers, like,
yeah,
the world, this is the world, deal with it. I think people that have read it will see like inspirations from like Full Metal Alchemist come out a little bit. I think there's a lot of I'm like a big manga fan, so Frieren was like all I read.
Frieren.
And so you can see a little bit of inspirations of their kind of their witching testing periods and chapters that I really gained a lot of inspiration for in terms of just like world building. A lot of Hunger Games, Battle Royale, Akira. It was
drama.
A big
through it, dude.
Yeah. So it was really, it's really, I really get like a lot from just like different stories that I love, just stories and like big themes. Cause you don't want to obviously take anything directly from anything else. It's not what we're writing for, but just being able to find that big theme that you can use, like that would just draw more inspiration. Like the big world ideas that you see in Akira, when you see that city, like, how does your imagination not just go wild?
Possibility.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So when I say inspiration, like, I really just draw, like, aesthetic and big art scenes, big panels and landscapes to create this. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could I ask you some quick fire questions, one word responses?
Oh, God. No, that's so hard for me because I always lose the plot. Go for it.
Okay. Who's the best dressed?
Out of the characters?
Yes.
Oh gosh, I would say not so, because they have a little gala at the
Who's the best dressed?
Fox.
Okay, who would you recommend if you had to get someone to read it? What one character do you think has the biggest hook for new readers?
God, there's two. I'm so can only say one
name. I say, why should I read it? You can say one name. Who is it?
Cater it to Ash.
I'd say Synthesis, definitely Synthesis.
Okay, who do you think could carry a spin-off?
Branch, period.
One, the title of something that you want the cages to be uttered in the same breath as.
Another title?
Yeah. You want them to say such and such and the cages. Who?
I'd say Hunger Games.
Okay. Nice. Oh.
You finish your questions. I have the last question. Go on.
No, you go for it. Go for it. Go.
Okay, I was going to ask if you can you give us a hint about season two?
In one word?
I'll give you a sentence. Okay. What are we looking for?
Season two, we are getting down to like class system. So like we're going like or class categories. So we're doing like damage, support, and tank. And we are finding out weaknesses and strengths of new dynamics, new peoples, and expanding on old ones. So you'll see.
When I saw all signs at the end, I was like, okay, oh God, we have a key. We have a key, guys. There's key, there's signs, there's data.
Yes, no, maps were a big part of it. So season two map has already been done and it'll be previewed pretty soon just to get people hyped for it. And I'm just really excited. I think if I were to describe it in a word, it'd be mess. It's so messy.
It's what we need. We need more mess. That is perfect. Do you have any other questions, Ashley? Or should I get us ready to tie us off?
No, I think it's such a good first step into writing creation that you've made here. Mm. I think you have entered with a level of skill already that makes me so excited about more stories from you.
Yeah.
So thank you for all the hard work and time and effort and learning that you've put into create this and put it out. It's incredibly good, it's incredibly inspirational, it's incredibly brave, incredibly honest, and I'm both impressed with it and impressed by you, my friend.
And don't you dare fucking stop. You're not allowed to stop.
Easy.
Yeah, no, you're the nice one to these bitches. I'm the one that says, and I expect part two or it'll be your head, bitch. You hear me?
Yes. No, we are. You hear me? We have it outlined. We are working on the next episode already. So hopefully.
And I'm waiting.
All that work. Yeah, hopefully all that work.
Before we go, Al, can you give the people a bit of information about the Kickstarter, how long they have to give you money, how well you've been doing? What do we need to know to make
what
sure
they need to sell?
We appreciate any support that you can give towards the Kickstarter for the Cages Season 2 Battle Round, whether that's just sharing or actually backing a reward tier. We have just like the regular whole digital copy PDF of the Cages. You don't have to go on a website and put in information. You don't have to have ads. It is just all there. And then we also have some other tiers that include like one of my first stories about Synthesis, which was like the character that this all grew from, Lost Synthesis, which was
pun intended.
Yes. And that debuted on Twitter like the longest time ago, but I decided to bring it in as a reward tier just for anyone that wants to see like how I've grown and how
I love that.
And another great artist, Mihai Ratari, which absolutely killed a lot of those panels. Karen Charm did the cover. It's absolutely beautiful. Check it out. And then my last two tiers are drawing from me a character sheet of a character that you create and I create together. You can give me references and I'll create you a character that is becoming of the Cages. And if you want to go even further of that than that, there's the final one where you can actually get that character on panel in season two.
Your Cage Sona. I love that.
Yes, your Cage Sona.
Yes, you can have that. You can feel it. You can see it.
Yes. We'll feel it. We'll feel it.
No, I love that so much. That is amazing. Thank you so much, Al, for joining us. Go on.
Yeah, we have last thing I'll say, sorry, is we have less than 2 weeks left. We're at 67%. And again, like you don't even have to go for a tier. You can just share, or even like a $2 pledge is more than enough to anybody that is listening. And I appreciate you having me on and even hearing me out.
Defend your life. That's what we did. Defend your life. No, of course, we're so glad. Thank you so much for helping us also explore this little collaboration that Ash and I are doing. You've given us a chance to do that as well. Thank you for volunteering your time for that too.
Oh my gosh. No, I've been following you since your dust days and Ash, obviously we've heard the lore and the origin stories now, but I was pushing for this. I'm so happy that we were able to get together. And thank you so much again.
Ooh. Thank you, Eddie. All right, let's everybody say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.